Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Deacon Steve Greco. Deacon, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Rick. It's very exciting to be here.
And I would ask you, please, if you would be so kind as to open us up with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We offer our hearts to you, our mind, our soul to you in thanksgiving for the wondrous works that you do for us, your love, your unconditional love, and your blessings. Fill us with your Holy Spirit through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Deacon, I would like you to tell us a little bit about yourself because you've got such a wide and varied background. And as a full-time minister, you're one of those rare deacons that actually has the privilege to serve Christ full time. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing for Christ.
Well, I went to Jesuit school, Loyola, now Loyola Marymount, and I was on a quest, even at that young age, to basically ascertain who is Jesus for me. And believe it or not, way back when, I actually wrote an article or essay on trying to disprove the resurrection.
Oh, the famous last words.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and all my study and everything led to the fact that there had to be something. And so that kind of started the process. Got married when I was just barely 22. Currently, you know, we have three children and four grandchildren. I say currently because you never know about more grandchildren coming. But right now, you know, we've all adults. And my wife and I have been married for be 45 years in a few weeks.
Wow.
So it's pretty awesome. I was a healthcare executive for many years for a number of pharmaceutical companies. As senior vice president, I was president of a company I started and was involved a lot in management as it relates to leadership positions and marketing and sales and so forth. But that entire time, I was drawn to Jesus. And at 28 years of age, I had what the Protestants would call a born-again experience. I gave my heart to Jesus, and I really, the Bible started exploding for me. And from there, got involved in a lot of ministry, and charismatic renewal is very heavy in my background, and was a prayer group leader for many, many years. And then began speaking probably about 10 years ago. And now I speak throughout Western U.S., primarily Hawaii, and also internationally. We're going on our second trip to the Philippines in January.
Now, who's we? What ministry is this?
Okay, this is called Spirit-Filled Hearts, and it's spiritfilledhearts.org is our website. And you can check us out. Also check us out on YouTube under Deacon Steve Greco. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, but it's evangelization and healing. I mean, we believe, as Jesus said in Mark 16:18, lay hands on the sick and they will recover, and preach the gospel to all nations, as of course it says in Matthew and Mark. And so we really believe very strongly that our first priority is evangelization, but as part of being the ambassadors for Christ, we believe in the charismatic gifts, and so we lay hands on the sick, knowing that Jesus is the healer. And so we do that all over the world, and people just are nourished knowing the fact that they're not alone and that God loves them. And so we love to pray over people, and we do a lot of teaching, you know, a lot of teaching as it relates on the Holy Spirit, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, on family and healing and just variety of different subjects.
So evangelization and healing is the primary focus for your ministry of Christ to the people that come to you.
It is. And we basically want to spread the word of God and this new evangelization. And so wherever we go, we, we really ask people to really focus on who is Jesus to them. And it's interesting, coming just off Christ the King, is Jesus Lord? Is he King? Or is he just an historical figure or someone who, you know, you kind of check the box and say, yeah, I know he's a son of God. And as I said in the homily last weekend at Christ the King, well, even the demons know that Jesus is son of God. But is he Lord in your life?
Well, and that's why really I wanted to have you on here. For people who are interested in your healing ministry, they can go to spiritfilledhearts.org. That's all one word, spiritfilledhearts.org. Today, though, we're in the midst of the week that transitions from Christ the King through Thanksgiving and on to the beginning of Advent. And it's really a powerful week. And for our listeners, I wanted to have you talk us through a little of that transition and how you see that as fitting into the healing and the ministry of Christ that God has called you to and calls us to.
I love Christ the King, and it's interesting that it is the last Sunday of liturgical year, because it's almost like the church is saying, okay, we've gone through this whole year. Now, when Jesus went to Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, who do you say that I am, or who do they say that I am, and who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, Christos, the Messiah. That is the fundamental question. Who do you say that I am? And based upon the fact that he's our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer, he is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Great I Am. He is everything, the Alpha and the Omega. That means that, wow, as it says in John 15, without me, I can do nothing. You can do nothing. So without Jesus, I can do nothing. So therefore, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for everything. I'm thankful for breathing. I'm thankful for my life. I'm thankful for all the gifts he's given me. I'm thankful for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for salvation. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18, in all circumstances, give thanks, for this the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. For me, Thanksgiving is really taking a reflection and saying, wow, look at what you've done for me, for my family.
You know, this, it just so happens that we have this happy coincidence. And of course, my belief is there really are no coincidences. But we have this happy coincidence where we have in the United States this great celebration of Thanksgiving coming right after we've had a whole month where the readings have been so much about the end of the world is near. What are you going to do about it?
Right.
The end of the world is near. And how Christ will come back, which is the idea that he came once in the flesh. He's coming back again. And it's funny, for me, my favorite passage of his return isn't even in the New Testament. It's from Isaiah, when the suffering servant in Isaiah 52 and 53, where this image of this beaten up, crucified man stands before the world, and the kings all stand there silently as they bow to their knees, and they come to the realization he really is the Christ, the God. And it's this image that Isaiah paints where it makes all of the other things that have to do with life seem so small compared to what this all means, that Christ not only endured that death, but he comes back in resurrection. Now, what does that mean to your life? And for us in the church to have gone through the month of November, especially with that focus on Christ the King, that he has come to us, it calls us to reflect on what has our life been, and therefore, what are we truly thankful for? Which is why I love this week.
I do. I agree. And it is fantastic. And like you say, it all fits together, you know, and then in preparation for Advent. But this week is about that reflection to say, I have been given so much. I am to be grateful for that, and I am to be thankful for that. And what does it mean to be thankful? It isn't about give me, give me, give me. It's about, okay, now what can I give? You know, there's a term called being spiritually obese, and that basically means, a lot of people haven't heard that term. Of course, I did some research and stole it, but a priest mentioned it to me one time, and I said, what does that mean? Well, so many people, and there's such a tendency just to say, okay, what can God do for me? You know, that Santa Claus God, you know, give me, give me, give me. but it really is about being thankful for the gifts that I have so that I may share it with other people.
When I was a Protestant, there was a term they used in the evangelical side of the house, which was they were fat babies. They were spiritual fat babies. They were the ones who wanted to know the Bible, and they wanted all the blessings, but it was focused on them, how they can get to heaven, how they can have the spiritual blessings and glories of God. And it not only wasn't about the people around them, it really wasn't even about God.
So, I mean, in stewardship, which we're actively involved in, time, talent, and treasure within the Catholic Church, I mean, how can I give more of my time to God? Can I spend an hour in prayer? Can I spend 10 minutes in prayer a day? What can I do to use the gifts that God has given me to share that love and that talent with other people? I'll give you an example. Michael Amola, who is a vice president of our ministry, is actively involved in helping those that are unemployed. And so for us, it's like, okay, you have a background in which you maybe a human resources background or a background in which you've hired a lot of people or you have a good idea on what it takes to get a job. Well, use that talent to help other people get jobs. And of course, the treasure is a lot of people think it's their money, but the reality is it isn't, you know, it's God's money. So, you know, I think Thanksgiving is about that reflection to say, all right, I'm thankful. Now God has given me so much. What can I give back?
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Deacon Steve Greco. And we're talking about this wonderful week of transition from Christ the King through Thanksgiving and into Advent. And we'll continue talking with Steve, as long as you don't run away and hide. We'll continue talking with Steve when we come back. And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, at Christ Cathedral Campus, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. With me today is Deacon Steve Greco. And Deacon, I want to thank you for not running out the door, but for staying and talking with us about this week, this beautiful transitional week from Christ the King to Advent with the Feast of Thanksgiving in between. So I'd like to focus a little bit more on Thanksgiving. You know, when we go through the actual holiday, we get so caught up often in the trimmings and the family. And who to sit near whom so you don't start a family fight.
Amen. And don't talk about politics, everyone.
Not this year.
Not this year.
we'll talk about something safe like Pope Francis.
Yeah, there you go.
No, wait. But
there you go.
Bottom line is we can get so caught up in the minuscule problems that divide us, that we lose sight of really Thanksgiving. And in this week where we come out of such reflection on our lives and what they ought to be meaning before Christ, where do you think people should go in their hearts, minds, and souls so that they can reflect a little more effectively on truly keeping this week full of Thanksgiving?
I think about the billboards or the cardboard signs at football games. Historically, you don't see them as much anymore. But John 3:16 is a great starting point. You know, for God so loved us, and you can put your name into it, and everyone can put their own name into it. But so loved the world, they gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. I mean, the very foundation of his death on the cross and what that means for us as sinners is a great starting point of just saying, Lord, I am so thankful you who are of God and humbled yourself, as it says in Philippians 1, humbled yourself and to die on the cross, this brutal death, so that I may have eternal life.
What a great gift.
It's incredible, yeah. Right? I mean, but we just don't spend enough time. At least I think most of us don't, right?
I don't think any of us do. And what's funny is we don't even think when we're here in the United States and we're surrounded by a Judeo-Christian culture about how unique this idea of Christ come to us really is. In most of the other religions of the world, human beings are trying to reach up and become godlike. so that they can either break the cycle of life after life after life, or they can somehow go into a union and out of their own selves will somehow become unified with God, as if somehow you really could do that. And what we have is God reminding us, you can't reach me, but I can reach you. And he does.
And he chooses us. You know, in John 15:16, right? It's not you who chose me, but I who chose you. I mean, he has chosen us before the dawn of time. And I love to look, you know, like you, I love scripture. And so I look at the first chapter of Ephesians, and what a great thing to do on Thanksgiving Day, where it says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. You know, most people aren't aware of that. Every spiritual blessing chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish. He destined us for adoption for himself. Let's see. I'm holy without blemish because of what he did, not from what I've done.
Thank God.
And that I have every spiritual blessing. I mean, think about that. I mean, you can just start meditating on what does that mean? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, you know, self-control. I mean, all of these blessings that we have, but we block them sometimes and don't realize it.
Well, and the other thing that we don't realize is that last part that you mentioned there in that reading from Ephesians. Then we get the adoption papers.
Exactly. Exactly.
We get to be adopted children of God. And God loved us so much that all that can be understood of God became one with us as Christ.
Amen. And we're King's kids, right?
Which means that we're brothers and sisters to God through Christ.
It's awesome. It is so awesome. I mean, when you think about it, how can you not be thankful? How can you not be thankful that we who are sinners were wiped clean by what Jesus did on the cross and resurrection? And that to really meditate on that and all the nonstop blessings. You know, again, my wife had this little dream in which the Lord said, you have an umbrella over your head. I'm showering you with blessings. Take the umbrella and turn it upside down and catch the blessings. Isn't that a great
that
image?
It could be hard as well, though, during this time when life has had difficulties for all of us, but for some people in large amounts, in heavy doses. And I know this is a time where a number of people throughout the world have suffered. There are many people in our country who have relatives who are suffering in different war-torn areas, people in our country who are having difficulty finding work, people who have lost their jobs. We have people who are afraid and people who are sad, who've lost loved ones. I've mentioned this on this show a couple of times now that I'm friends with someone who was lost in the shooting in San Bernardino.
Yes.
And the grief that that family has had to go through, though that family has heroically risen so high despite it. We can't lose sight of that as well. How would you have those people who are going through a very difficult time, who almost see the idea of Thanksgiving through the eyes of cynicism, how, Deacon, would you address them so that they can see more clearly the blessings of God to be thankful for?
The first thing that hit me when you were talking was, what's your next question? No, just kidding. You know, it's interesting. You look at Thessalonians, again, it says, in all circumstances, give thanks. Now, you don't give thanks for the circumstance, but you give thanks for what God is doing as a result of it. I'll give you an example. My daughter, 41 years of age, has a very aggressive lung cancer that has metastasized to her brain and many tumors in her brain.
What is her first name?
Laura.
And I hope that all people who are listening will be praying for Laura. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, thank you. And the prayers have been amazing. Well, one of the things I said, and you know, having children yourself, you often don't realize that children actually listen to you sometimes. And so as we're going through this process and, you know, she has been much more active in her faith, I said one thing to her and I said, make it count. Romans 8:28, in all things work for good for he or she who loves the Lord is called according to his purpose. So make it count. And she has become a lung cancer research advocate. She goes to Washington, D.C. She's actually part of the Department of Defense now in figuring out research. She's been in Newark's legislature. She's been on TV, radio. We've had her on our radio show. She is fighting for lung cancer research because it's so minimal versus other research. And then more people die from lung cancer in any given year, 150,000, than prostate cancer, breast cancer, and colon cancer combined. And most people aren't aware of that. And of course, she never smoked in her life.
Right.
And so many people that are getting lung cancer haven't smoked. So when you go through this tough time, the question is that, all right, now what is God showing me where I can make a difference with other people? You lose someone close to you in the family. Just rips you apart. But can I be a comfort to other people in a similar circumstance? So I think that God gives us graces to endure the challenges that we have so that we may love through it other people and help them as they're suffering through their challenges.
I have four children, two of whom have had some difficulties, and not to the degree that you're talking about, but some significant difficulties. And I remember once going to my spiritual confessor, my spiritual director, and him making the statement that you are just so blessed by God. Now, I had to confess that I wanted to hit the priest at that point. What do you mean?
Sure.
I'm blessed?
Absolutely.
But he reminded me that God works more through our struggles sometimes than he works through the blessings that we enjoy.
And, you know, one of my most favorite scriptures, again, or the whole eighth chapter of Romans that I started mentioning, but starting at verse 35, that nothing will separate us from the love of God. You know,
neither life nor death,
present things or future things, you know, neither principalities or angels or creatures, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. That whole concept, meditating on that on Thanksgiving, that even though I'm going through this really challenging time, it doesn't matter because God's love is here in my heart. And I believe very strongly that there is joy in suffering when we focus on what joy means, Jesus over you. And there is joy in the sense that no one can take away Christ from our hearts and that relationship that we have with him. Circumstances are not dependent upon that, but it's hard. It's not easy.
But here's the other thing that comes with it, and it's something that I have learned slowly over time, especially in the wake of what that priest said to me. And it's not only is your daughter learning from what she's going through, and my children are learning from what they've gone through, but we as parents or we as people who are close to those who are suffering, we're learning too. And what they're giving us is a very powerful gift of self-reflection and to look inside ourselves so that what we call metanoia, that change, might actually really take place in us at a core level, deeper than we could really ever do just by reading and enjoying all the time.
We get upset over seemingly trivial things.
And we will come back to finish that point. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Deacon Steve Greco, and we'll be right back.
Join Bishop Kevin Bam and Catholics from throughout Southern California on December 11th at 1 p.m. for the second annual Catholic Hockey Night at the Honda Center. Purchase discounted tickets to watch the Ducks take on the Ottawa Senators. Stay after the game to cheer on Servite Catholic High School and Santa Margarita Catholic High School as they take to the ice for a special exhibition game. For tickets, go to nhl.com/ducks/tickets/Catholic Night or visit occatholic.com.
And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Steve Greco from Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. And Deacon Steve has been gracing us with a conversation about this wonderful, beautiful week that God has given us, transitioning from Christ the King through Thanksgiving and on into Advent. And our last segment, we kind of ended it where it wasn't exactly a downer, but we were talking about the depth of change in our hearts and souls that is brought about when it's hard to be thankful, especially when we've got difficulties. And you were finishing a point that we were discussing about, I believe it was about how we learn from those. Finish that up a little bit.
Well, it's so important that we realize that God uses everything. Jesus uses everything. And we do get much wiser as it relates to prioritization. Think about what 5 years ago, what was your biggest issue? And this is to everyone out there. Can you even remember it? You know, most of the time we can't. And yet at the time we thought it was so catastrophic and so critical.
Or even how much does it really affect me now?
How much does it affect me now? In most cases, it doesn't at all. And so we get ourselves all worked up over what someone said to us, or maybe the boss has given us a bad time. We didn't get the raise we thought we could, or maybe our ball team didn't do what they were supposed to do. I won't even talk about the Rams last weekend, but in any case, you know, we get ourselves over trivial things when in reality, things that are truly significant when it happens to us, we begin to realize that, hey, this is something that is not trivial, but God is in the center of it, no matter what is happening. And we start to learn that even the most serious of things, that we're never alone.
You know, I was reflecting on a couple of people who are friends of mine who have gone through a great deal. And I'm watching as they are confronted by these difficulties and how God has actually been actively changing their lives. And they may not be able to see it because they're looking at the mirror every day. And it, when you're up close to something that's affecting you dramatically, you don't always see those changes. But we as friends do. And I think this week is a good time for us to give that gift to the people around us, where maybe it's a good time to be able to reach out to people who have been going through those difficult times, dark moments, either personally or because of what's going on in their families, and reminding them of things that we actually see. I'm not one who believes in giving what we would call compliments, because compliments are usually about something false.
Sure.
They just, in our society, they become that way. But speaking the truth and to give the gift of saying, you know, I know you've had some issues with whatever, but I've seen so many good things happen.
It means a lot to me when people encourage, because that's what Scripture tells us, that we are to be encouragers. We are to be Barnabas, right? We are to be encouragers. And when people encourage me and say, I don't know how you're doing it, you know, I have another sibling, or not sibling, but child that's going through an incredibly difficult time, along with what my daughter Laura is doing. And they go, I don't know how you're doing it, you know, with all the change and all the challenges and whatever. And I appreciate the faith that you're showing. And so, yeah, we can be the embodiment of encouragement when we see people who are really struggling, to let them know how much you appreciate them and how they're fighting. They're fighting through the emotion. They're fighting through the challenges, and they're not giving up, because and that's where I think Hebrews 10:35-36 about, we are to be confident in our faith, that our faith is based upon persistence. You know, it is about perseverance, and it is about the fact that we're running a marathon, not a sprint. And so not to let a circumstance really bog us down so we feel like putting the covers over our head, which all of us at times, I think, do. I mean, I do over the years. But realizing the fact that something good's going to come out of this.
You mentioned Hebrews 10 in the last section there. That, of course, comes just before the Faith Hall of Fame, Hebrews 11.
Right.
And it'd be a great read for everyone to do on Thanksgiving, is to read Hebrews 11 at this, the testimonies. Each one of these people are people who were tested or tried and came out stronger because of what they went through. And it is what they went through that helped bring them into the fullness of heaven, bring them into the fullness of God.
And it is such a great chapter, and I use verse 6 an awful lot in my teaching, which basically says it's impossible to please God without faith, and he rewards those who believe he exists. So faith knowing the fact that you're going to get through this difficult time, faith knowing the fact that God loves in this case, say my daughter, more than I do. And it's like, okay, I that's hard for me to fathom, you know?
That's
I
mean, a profound thought. Say that again, because it's important, I think, for people to be reminded that when they're caregivers for people who are suffering, say that again.
God loves whoever you love, whether it be your spouse, whether it be your child, whether it be someone close to you, infinitely more than you love them. And God wants what's best for them. And to trust in him, because it's the divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. The reality is we don't always trust God. We think our way is the best way. But when we trust in God, when we show faith and saying, Lord, you know my heart. You know that I want my daughter healed of her cancer, but I do trust in you that you love her more than I do.
Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief.
Amen. Amen.
It is so hard. And this is why we talk about the big three of faith, hope, and love. And when we get to heaven, there is no more need for faith. Heaven's a faithless place, and Amen. It's a hopeless place, because there's no need for hope. You have what you were hoping for. And there's no need for faith, because it's already there in your presence.
Right.
It is love, and that love that we will realize in its fullness, we have to have on faith here. And that can be hard, but this is why he surrounds us with people like you, Deacon Steve, and like the people that are out there who are caring for those who are suffering, so that when we are going through a week like this week, where we've had a chance to reflect on our lives for Christ the King, we have a chance to reflect on what we're thankful for on Thanksgiving in our wonderful United States, that we can reflect that not only have we had trials and tribulations, but we've had love and grace and mercy and goodness from a God who has far more of that to give us and has given us than we will ever realize.
Amen. Amen.
So Thanksgiving, what would be a couple of good ideas for our listening audience in order to cultivate a little more of being thankful before God as they sit down with their family, in order to truly not just embrace a sumptuous meal to be thankful for, but to genuinely cultivate an appreciation for the love that God gives them?
I would go first to Scripture and the 8th chapter of Romans, and starts with verse 1. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Understanding the fact that God's not condemning you, why should you condemn yourself? Of course, the 28th verse that all things will work for good. And the other verses that we mentioned, that nothing will separate you from the love of God. What does that mean to you? I'd also make a list of what you are thankful for. Take that list and just write as many things you possibly can, and then keep it with you and review it literally on a daily basis to say, okay, every time you're trying to change something, every time you're looking at the glass half empty, take a look at that paper and say, wow, I'm thankful I can see. I'm thankful for my spouse, my children. I'm thankful I have a roof over my head. I'm thankful, and on and on and on and on. And you begin to realize, what am I complaining about? I'm complaining about the one thing I didn't get when I've got, you know, infinite number of things that I'm blessed with.
When I was a principal, I had a board that was next to my door, but it was next to a bookcase. You couldn't really see it very well. But every time I got a thank you note, especially if it was from a child,
yeah,
I always would pin it there. And I'd have dozens and hundreds of these notes that were up there. And when you'd have a bad encounter, and as a principal, it's never the kids. It never is the kids.
No, of course not.
But because the kids, they get into a fight, they do something, you tell them they did something wrong, they say they're sorry, they go on their way. It's the parents. And so you walk away, and the parents have given you a really bad piece of business. You walk over to that board and you start reading, not Scripture, though Scripture is so very valuable, but Scripture enfleshed in the thankfulness of those people who said thank you for this or thank you for that, a reminder of the impact that you have in the lives of those around you. It is a real blessing and something to be thankful for, that we have the opportunity to be blessings in the lives of those around us.
And it really comes down to God is love, and how has God's love been manifested in so many different ways through other people? You know, think back. You know, we often forget about friends and family and coworkers and even bosses that have really demonstrated God's love. And to really reflect back and make a spiritual inventory of the times people have loved us and are loving us now, and that we take for granted.
And the one who loves us the most is God himself.
Amen.
And as we continue our journey through this week, we come after Thanksgiving to the beginning of Advent. And so when we come back, Deacon, I want us to be able to plunge deeply into what this great gift means to all of us and just why we should be so thankful. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today is Deacon Steve Greco from Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry at spiritfilledhearts.org. And when we come back, we will be discussing a little bit about how this week translates into Advent, Christ come to us. And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today, by the grace of God, has been Deacon Steve Greco, who hasn't run out the door, but instead has blessed us with a great reflection on why this week is such a special gift to us and a time for us to really reflect on being thankful for the life he's given us, that Christ is coming back, on the life he gives us to be thankful for, but also the life he gives us anew through Christ come to us, which we now begin with Advent. Tell us a little bit about how you see this transition from Christ the King through Thanksgiving to Advent.
More than anything else, it does relate back to Christ the King in the sense of who is Jesus for you personally? To what extent is Jesus Lord of your life? To what extent do you want him forever to be Lord of your life, to be your king? And Advent is anticipation of certainly what is to come, his second coming, but it's also in remembrance of Christmas, the fact he came for us. And as we look at the various themes of Advent, it is about hope. It is about joy in the third week of Advent. It is about that purity, that prayer, and certainly fasting. But is that anticipation that we're going to be with him forever in heaven, and that joy that is just beyond comprehension in which we feel his love? Think about, and this is to everyone listening in, who do you love? Don't you feel incredibly great when you're with them and talking to them? And yet our love for other people just pales in comparison. Is just a little speck in comparison to how much God loves us and how he wants to shower us with that love for all of eternity. So Advent is this anticipation that we're going to get even closer to Christ as we go through these weeks. We reflect upon how much he loves us. We reflect upon his joy. We reflect of the fact that, yes, he's come for us, but he's coming again to take us with him forever.
See, that's the thing that I think gets lost a little bit, is that Advent is really not just about prepping for Christmas, though our retailers would like us to think that's what it's about. Advent is about the coming of Christ to us in all ways. The first coming in the manger, the second coming that is yet to be, and the coming to us, and how that should impact our lives. And that's something that I think for most of us, as we are engaging all the Christmas shopping and we lose sight of. What would be your advice for us to be able to not lose, but to gain from this week of reflection?
Well, as we look upon each Advent, first of all, take advantage of the Advent wreath, take advantage of the Advent traditions, really begin reflecting upon the fact of, what does this coming mean for us, this deeper relationship? He has come for us in Christmas, but he's coming again. So I think it's about prayer and reflecting upon the fact that, can I spend a little bit more time in prayer? Can I spend a little bit more time in this busy season of attending Mass? For example, if you go to Mass, say, twice a week, can you go three times a week? You know, a couple times during the week instead of once, certainly on Sundays, obviously on the weekend. Can you do a little bit more? I also believe, for me anyway, that it is a spiritual inventory. Certainly we think of Lent as being that spiritual inventory, but Advent also should be a spiritual inventory. And we're such a big, and as the church is, we really recommend strongly reconciliation. And to really have that inventory during the Advent season to say, you know, when was the last time I went to that beautiful sacrament where I had that spiritual inventory? I had the examination of conscience. And that's a wonderful time during the Advent season to prepare for Jesus coming to say, all right, I want to be clean, wiped clean. Let me go to reconciliation and let me be wiped clean and receive his grace.
You know, I heard someone explain it to me once when I was a very young Catholic, that God sees you already so beautiful and so clean. Your job in going to confession is to make it real by allowing the priest to return you that way so that you remain for yourself how God already sees you.
I think if we really understood the grace that we get in the sacrament of reconciliation, that we would go so often, you know, and realize that it isn't about whether or not you've killed somebody and these, you know, these horrible sins. And obviously, if you've done these mortal sins, that you need to go as ASAP. But it is about building grace in which you get stronger in your relationship and in your holiness, because we are to pursue holiness and reconciliation. And for me, of course, daily Mass and receiving the Eucharist every day is essential to build holiness, because it's obviously a challenge. I mean, we're in a spiritual warfare, and we're challenged to grow in grace and holiness, and we need those tools.
See, that's one of the things that I really think a lot of people may not get from the idea of Advent. When Christ comes to us, he doesn't just come as this beautiful gift in a manger scene, a nativity scene. He comes to impact our lives. So now what are you going to do about it? You shepherds, you have been entreated to this wonderful vision of the babe in the manger. Now what are you going to do about it? You who have encountered Jesus in your life, you've been healed. What are you going to do now about it? When Christ comes into our lives, he calls us to change our lives. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer is famous for saying, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And what he means by that is not some macabre reenactment of Christ the King, but it's about to die to yourself so that you can live in Christ, so that all those things that took you away from God are no longer alive, but Christ is now fully alive in you because he's come to us as the babe in the manger, but also he's coming into our lives.
Amen. Amen.
You have been so gracious to be with us for this hour. Thank you so very much in guiding us through a little of this transition to appreciate what we've had in Christ the King and why Thanksgiving is such an awesome reflection, an awesome opportunity for reflection on what Christ the King means, but also to jumpstart us into this season of Advent. But you do a lot of this in your ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and what's coming up, because I know there's a number of things that have been on your plate.
Well, we're going to St. George, Utah for 8th and 9th, and we're doing
a beautiful area out there.
Yeah.
The red cliffs that are out there.
Yeah, the Life in the Spirit Seminar. So anyone listening in that has relatives or want to make a trip, we're doing that. And we're going to the Philippines for 12 days.
It's a long swim.
That's a long swim. And we're actually at Santo Niño, the Infant Jesus, where we'll be leading a healing service for up to 10,000 people. And we're going to be going to 19 different churches and parishes and preaching on evangelization, the new evangelization, preaching about the healing and love of Jesus Christ, having various healing services. And we are looking for support, so come to our go to our website.
That website, by the way, was spiritfilledhearts.org.
Yes, spiritfilledhearts.org. You can go to the donation button And we certainly would appreciate your donations. We are all self-funded, and so all of our trips and ministries, and we're traveling all over the country right now and doing various seminars and workshops, parish missions, and so forth. And I have two books, too, on Amazon, 365 Days of Praise, which is a daily meditational.
All right.
And Reflections on the Holy Spirit, also on Amazon, and that is on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23.
So what you do is to take this ministry of healing out to the people, either locally, which this is an Orange County-based ministry. This is where you're out of. So you not only minister throughout the whole world, you minister here, too.
We went to San Francisco Solano. We just had over 100 people, gave a Life in the Spirit seminar. And we give talks all over Orange County and different sessions. So Orange County, Archdiocese, Los Angeles also, we do the most in, but we are branching out, you know, in terms of other states and, of course, worldwide.
But you hear that, San Diego, you also can go ahead and be involved with this, too.
Yeah, so, and we've done some things in San Diego, but we need to do a lot more, actually.
SpiritFilledHearts.org. And there's information there on what you do, and there's also information on how they can help support you. And, of course, the prayers, both for your daughter, but also for your ministry, would be greatly appreciated.
Rick, I can't thank you enough, and thank all of our listeners. And we just pray blessings upon all of you and your families during this holiday season, that we understand how much that we're loved by Jesus, and that we just open our hearts to receive the love of the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Amen. You've been listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, and Deacon, I want to thank you so very much for coming in. May God bless you and your ministry. I know that you've got many other people that are involved, and you've been involved with this ministry now for how long?
About 3 years, but it's really been since I retired from my professional career, which has been about 7 months now.
And the people that have been listening today have been very blessed by hearing you. So thank you once again for being with us, for gracing us with a little bit of thought and a little bit of feeling about how to best take advantage of this wonderful week where we transition from the Christ that comes to us as King to the Christ who comes in the manger, and how we can truly be thankful for that.
Thank you, Rick, and God bless you and all of your listeners.
Thank you. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. This is the broadcast that is for all of you in the Diocese of Orange, but also in all of Southern California. We're coming to you from the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California. And we'll be with you next week.